Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie's back in town.
Look out, that was a good one.
Chris McMahon.
That was a good one. The Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. That's right. The weekend's over. We're back at it here on a Monday morning. I got you till 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. That's the number. We got Rami Lavi on the other side. And again, we got you every day until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. And, you know, we'll get to the basketballs. We've done a lot of Knicks. We saw the NBA Finals be evened up at a game of peace last night. More reports coming from the Knicks. But let's start with the baseball as the New York Yankees get beat 11-7 on Sunday Night Baseball by the heated rival Boston Red Sox. We'll get to Pete Alonso and the Mets as well. I have a thought on Pete that I've been pondering really all season, and especially now that he's reemerged after cooling off a little bit and then getting incredibly hot and being incredibly clutch and the word and term MVP being thrown around his name. We'll get to that in a bit. But let's start with the rival Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees as the Red Sox take the final two games after the Yankees take game one. I was on Saturday morning, had a lot to say about game one. The next two games did not go as well as the New York Yankees lose the series, lose the last two games in a certain kind of fashion where the Red Sox just absolutely pounded them. Let's be honest. The Red Sox came into the Bronx and pounded the New York Yankees pitching staff. Now, even in game one, they won the game, the Yankees. But after having a 7-0 lead, it was way too uncomfortable at the end of that game because the Red Sox never stopped coming at the New York Yankees and absolutely pounded the pitching staff. And look, there was a lot of, for some reason, and I'm not sure why, whether it's because the Red Sox are struggling, because of the Juan Soto dynamic with the Mets, because of losing 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers and losing the World Series last year to the Dodgers, and all of the talk that surrounded the Dodgers after that series and kicking the Yankees while they were down, and yeah, it made me sick to my stomach, and I hate the Dodgers, but a lot of rivalry talk over the weekend, and not just here on The Fan. I've seen it everywhere. You know, social media, you see it on the broadcast. I saw it on ESPN, SNY. Who's the Yankees' biggest rival? And, like, to me, it's about the Boston Red Sox. And unfortunately, to me, as we leave this series and move on to Kansas City, to me, this series is more about the Boston Red Sox. And what sucks about it is, look, the Yankees' pitching staff got absolutely hammered. And we'll go through it. We'll go through the two starters who get hammered in this game, and Ryan Yarbrough, who's been a godsend over the last 5 or 6 starts, is still Ryan Yarbrough. And despite how well he's pitched and how well he pitched against the Dodgers, the idea that we weren't expecting a night like we got Saturday, or even moving forward, what we can expect from Ryan Yarbrough moving forward will always be a question, but he's been so good, he gets absolutely hammered. Rodon, who we'll get into a little bit more specifically here at 888-808-1019, he has one of his typical games where even when he's cruising for a time in this game, he loses it in the fifth inning. He gives up the two-run shot, and then he follows it up with a three-run shot and puts the game, I wouldn't say out of reach, but they were in the lead, and suddenly they were not after another bad inning and a performance that we have grown accustomed to Carlos Rodon over his time with the Yankees, but not so much this year. And then the bullpen that is clearly weaker without Weaver, who's on the IL with a hamstring issue, it's a much weaker bullpen. We can go through all the problems that the Yankees have, and there are some. And there are legitimate issues with this team moving forward that they're going to have to attack at the deadline, or they're going to have to be better with, or some are just overblown, but there are issues with this Yankee team. But for me, this series wasn't necessarily about the flaws of the New York Yankees. And it wasn't about, look, they're still in first place. They're five games up in the loss column. The Tampa Bay Rays don't scare me. The Toronto Blue Jays don't scare me. Going into the season, I think all of us expected, at least I did. I know there was a lot of people high on the Orioles still and all their young talent, but I didn't think they did anything with the pitching staff. The offseason that the Boston Red Sox had, knowing that they're the Yankees' biggest rival, bar none. We can get into that debate again if you'd like. Yeah, there are teams that you end up coming across more. Yeah, do I hate the Astros for a stretch? Of course. There's plenty of teams I hate throughout the time of being a Yankee fan. But the Boston Red Sox are the rival. And in this particular situation, this offseason, they made a lot of moves. They improved their rotation. They improved their lineup. They got Bregman, who we all know from the Astros, and he was having an MVP-like season. If Judge doesn't exist, an MVP-like season, but a very quality season. And you expected this team, to be the Yankees' biggest threat. That's how I viewed it. The Texas Rangers should be good. Their offense has struggled, but we expected the Rangers to be good. The American League was going to be down, but the Boston Red Sox were going to be the Yankees' biggest rival in the division, and maybe the second best team in the American League next to them. Now, the Tigers have really stepped up, but that's what we thought going into the season. And instead, they've been a mess. The Boston Red Sox have been a mess. Starting from telling Devers to put his glove away and not play third, and he was refusing at first, then begrudgingly goes to DH. He gets off to the terrible start. Now he's, Devers. He's hitting home runs all over the place, and he leads the American League and runs batted in. But he won't play first. They've had these injuries. The offense strikes out a ton. When they hit the ball, they hit it hard. But besides that, the offense is underwhelming. This pitching staff has been a disaster. And they have played lackluster, sloppy baseball with injuries and young players that were supposed to be this great new farm system. And they still have more coming with Roman Anthony, and we'll see when he comes up. But a lot of the kids who've come up haven't played all that well. There's been a lot of poor defense. They have been a sloppy mess of a baseball team that is really going through it. Rob Refsnyder is like the face of the team talking about we stink right now. Like, they have really struggled. They are under 500. The Yankees go into this season nine and a half games up over the Boston Red Sox. And they had an opportunity not to necessarily put them away forever. We understand with the amount of playoff teams that there are in baseball now and the down nature of the American League, even a sweep wouldn't kill the Red Sox season. But it would feel like an end to the division, an end to the idea that they're a threat of the New York Yankees, and they would send them on their way with a clear-cut message that you are not as good as us. And instead, and this is what is the killer of this series, I know many of you want to talk about Aaron Boone, you dopes. I know many of you want to complain about the Yankees and their flaws, and there are some. But this series, to me, the Yankees are a good team. The Yankees are a damn good team. The Yankees are having a better season than almost any of us expected. The offense is good. The starting rotation over the last month and a half has been excellent. They're still five games up in the loss column in first place in this division. They're a good baseball team. They're not perfect, but they're good. They've won 8 of the last now 10 series. They've been playing good, winning baseball. Losing a series, although it being to the Boston Red Sox and particularly not pitching well, sucks. I don't like it, but we move on as far as the Yankees go. But what bothers me about this series is it feels like, with the way the games were played and the fact that it's on Fox and the fact that it's on Sunday Night Baseball and the fact that they came in and pounded the Yankees and the catcher who the Yankees traded hits a 3-run home run and Devers continues to hit bombs and Campbell, their young, struggling superstar they expect to be this great player, comes in and gets big hits. Trevor Story, who's been terrible for them all year, gets big hits. What's frustrating about this series is not only did you not make a statement to the Boston Red Sox, not only did you not put them further behind in this division, but to me, roster-wise, you could argue the Boston Red Sox are as good a team outside of the maybe Detroit Tigers, at roster-wise, that could be in the American League. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not worried about them necessarily even catching the Yankees in the division. But it looked like they were on their way to having a god-awful season. It looked like they were struggling so mightily that a knockout blow from the New York Yankees might just tip this thing in the wrong direction for them even further. And instead, it feels like watching the games, the Yankees breathe life into them. I wouldn't be surprised now if they go on a tear. I wouldn't be surprised now if they turn their season around. That's what's unfortunate about these games. That's what's unfortunate about watching last night and the night before. And even the first night they came back, they made a point that they were going to come into Yankee Stadium and try and send a message and get their season back on track. And as Boone said in the clip, they brought their hidden shoes and they pounded the Yankees. They pounded a Carlos Rodon, who, again, we can complain about it. Carlos Rodon has been incredibly good. Carlos Rodon has earned the right to have a bad start without crazy overreaction, without talking about, oh, here we go, another big-time start. You can't trust him in a big spot. This guy's a bum. He's going to be terrible. You just wait and see. I don't know if that's true. It might be true. Hopefully it's not, but it might be. But this guy's been good enough where one bad start shouldn't change our opinions of him. He's earned to have one bad start without the crazy overreaction. That's how good he's been. I'm not going to kill Carlos Rodon. Ryan Yarbrough is a veteran pitcher who's lucky to be on a roster, who had amazingly enough found a way to have 5 or 6 great starts for the Yankees. But ultimately, I don't think he's someone making playoff starts for the Yankees. I don't think he's someone who, when this team hits their stride at the end of the year or after the trade deadline, is someone who might even be making starts for them on a regular basis. He's someone who's been a quick fix because Cookie Carrasco sucks. They're still waiting on Luis Gil. Marcus Stroman's injured, but who cares? Like, they needed a fifth starter. He has stepped in and done a great job. But ultimately, what do we think of Ryan Yarbrough? If he throws anything over the plate, he's going to get hit. He has got to be able to locate and hit the outside corner on almost every pitch. And he's going to have nights where he just gets absolutely annihilated, because if he's not locating, he is hittable. The definition of hittable. But that's their fifth starter, and they're dealing with injuries, and Luis Gil is hopefully coming back, and there's a trade deadline to fix. Like, it's, to me, there's a lot of question marks about this team, but this weekend was an opportunity to really put a real, I don't want to say death knell, but real hamper on the Red Sox, to send a message to the Red Sox, their biggest rival, that you don't belong. And instead, the Red Sox came in and absolutely, even in the game they lost, kicked the crap out of this entire pitching staff. The entire pitching staff. The minute Will Warren started walking people in the fifth inning of game number one, from that moment until the final out of the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast, they kicked the ever-loving crap out of this Yankee pitching staff. Every single reliever, every single starter, they came in and absolutely pounded the baseball. The Yankees tried to match. The Yankee offense wasn't a problem, even despite everyone thinking a punt lineup on the Saturday game. But the Yankees breathed life into the Boston Red Sox. They're 8.5 games back. I am not overly worried that they're going to catch them for the division, but I was looking forward to watching this Red Sox team fade, and it still might happen. But what I don't like about it is when this is why we talk about rivalries. This is the Red Sox rival. Yankee Stadium is different for the Boston Red Sox. When they come into the Yankee Stadium, and especially even over the last couple of years when they've been bad, they have felt comfortable. Devers feels extremely comfortable. The Red Sox come into the Bronx and play well, even when they're a bad team. And I don't think they're as bad as they've been playing. And I wanted to really make a statement in this series, and instead, they got their brains beat in. And couldn't get a single out in this game. Couldn't get a big out. Couldn't keep them off the board as the Yankees were trying to come back and make an effort to get back into this game and back into this series. Couldn't do it. And that's what I take away from this. And that's what proves to me that this is the Yankees' biggest rival. Because leaving the series, I'm not even overly concerned with the Yankees. The pitching staff got beat up, no doubt. They're without Weaver, their closer. They're still waiting for guys to come back. Cruz just came back. He was not good in the series. Cruz is just coming back from a lat injury. Jonathan Loaisiga hasn't found himself just yet. The bullpen overly has been pretty damn good over the last month, but this series, they got their tails beat in. And instead of trying to put a real dagger into the Boston Red Sox, it feels like they breathed life into them. And that's what sucks. 888-808-1019, and I know you all want to blame Boone for it. Open challenge. Call me up and tell me how Aaron Boone is the reason they lost these games. I'd love to hear it. I would love to hear how Aaron Boone and his decision-making while they've been down all of these runs is why they lost the game. You can disagree with him, but please explain to me how he's the reason. And I know it's a small, you know, loud minority on Twitter, but it drives me absolutely nuts. Here we are again playing the Boston Red Sox. The entire pitching staff, no matter who the manager brings in, is getting pounded. But of course, it's Aaron Boone, the idiot. Players win, Boone loses. And I'm so sick of it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll get to baseball and we'll get to the Mets, rather, and Pete Alonso. And how he's having an MVP-type season and how the Mets should handle it. 888-808-1019. And of course, the Knicks continue. We still haven't heard whether or not the Dallas Mavericks will approve even talking to Jason Kidd. What's the plan? I have no idea. And now the latest report of everybody's fear that James Dolan is the one who made the decision in firing Tibbs. We'll get to all of it. We got till 5 o'clock to do it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back with your calls next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
And the Red Sox didn't. You have to give it to them. Red Sox came in and absolutely beat the crap out of the Yankees. And again, Carlos Rodon isn't the issue. We can get to the bullpen, which is an issue right now. I don't know how overly concerned I am about it, but we'll get to that. Carlos Rodon, anyone who's got a problem with Carlos Rodon, anyone who's going to tell me, oh, typical Carlos Rodon in a big spot. I can't tell you how many guys hit me. Oh, Carlos Rodon in a big spot. I understand what I just said about the rivalry and trying to put the Red Sox away and not breathe life into their season. I get that. This is not a big spot to judge Carlos Rodon on. If he got through it and pitched a dominant performance, nobody would say, look at another big spot that Carlos Rodon came through on. Nobody would say that. This is not a big spot, a game in June, 9.5 up on the Boston Red Sox. It's not. This is not one of those games that you classify, oh boy, see? Whenever there's a big game, it's not. They're coming off a series victory over the Guardians. They're up 5.5 games heading into the day in first place and 9.5 over the Boston Red Sox. This is not some sort of big spot that's telling for him. It's just not. And the fact of the matter is he's been so good. For the last month and a half, every single start out there, he still has an ERA under 3, still has a whip under 1. He is still striking out people at a crazy rate. Carlos Rodon has been excellent. He is an all-star, and he is pitching like an ace. He has earned the right to have a bad start without jumping to conclusions that he sucks and that his season, here we go, and it's going to be the same crap from Carlos Rodon. That's how well he's pitched. I'm not saying that he can't be that guy again. I'm not saying that we're in the clear and we will never see the bad Carlos Rodon again for stretches, or that I fully even trust him in a big spot, that I would feel 100% okay with him starting game 2 of a playoff series after they lost game 1. Like that I wouldn't feel overly confident about that yet. He hasn't proved that to me. But he has pitched well enough where this one start can be written off as one bad start. He has earned that. He's pitched well enough to deserve that. This is one bad start from Carlos Rodon. That is it. If the next one looks like this and he gives up 6 runs and 2 big 3-run bat blasts, then we can start having a conversation about him trending in the wrong direction. Max Fried was allowed one bad start against the Dodgers without being up in arms. And Carlos Rodon is allowed one bad start before we get all pissed off and second-guess him. He's allowed. Now, the bullpen is another scenario. The bullpen right now, if you go through it, and I did a little bit in the open, no Weaver we knew for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Now, hopefully it's closer to the 4. He had an injection, and apparently he's already started a throwing rehab. So we'll see. But he is not just important because of the upgrade he is as the closer over Devin Williams, which, when they're both right, I don't think is much of an upgrade, but right now it's been a huge upgrade. It lengthens this bullpen and gives Boone more options. Right now, you look at it, and people are all upset that, you know, in the second game of this series, that Hamilton pitches the 9th inning down a run. Like, Cruz had pitched the night before, Loaiza had pitched, like, you don't want to ruin guys and not have them for Sunday Night Baseball to protect a deficit. I don't understand what people don't get. I got someone tell me Devin Williams has to come into that game. He ended up not pitching Sunday night, so I don't know why he wasn't pitching Saturday. Devin Williams pitched on Friday. If you pitch him on Saturday, he's not pitching Sunday. Do you really want to pitch your closer in the ninth inning to keep a one-run deficit where even if he does his job, the Yankees still lose? Like, they could still lose, and what happened was is Chapman, who we all know, as long as he's throwing strikes, is pretty damn hard to hit, still throwing 102 miles an hour. You want to, in the ninth inning, knowing Chapman is waiting, you want to throw your closer to keep a one-run deficit and then not have him for Sunday Night Baseball? That is crazy. We get too overreactionary and treat these games like they're playoff games. They were important. I'm pissed they lost. I wanted to beat the Red Sox. I want to put them in their place and make them feel like this season's pointless. That's what I was hoping to do. Instead, they kicked the crap out of the Yankees, and I feel like it's probably breathed life into them. And we'll see how they perform from here on out. But, like, he's got, right now, the bullpen doesn't have a lot of options. Cruz, who was great to start the year and still has strikeout stuff, is coming off a lat injury and hasn't looked the same just yet. Hamilton, who was great for them over the last couple years, has been bad. We all know what Williams has done, pitched well in the first game of the series, got the save, but he's a question mark. Still. Leiter's been good, but how many times can you throw him? Like, right now, this bullpen, Tim Hill, has come in. He got screwed on a strike pitch last night, but he walked the last time out in a big spot. He walked the guy that gave up a run, and tonight he gives up the base hit up the middle to Duran. Like, Tim Hill has not been as good as he was last year, although he had one incredible performance in the last couple days. But this bullpen right now is without question really behind the eight ball without Weaver. Weaver is the guy right now who ties this bullpen together. And the manager has to make decisions based on the idea that he doesn't have Weaver in there anymore. And when Hamilton comes in to the bottom of the order or the middle bottom of the order in the ninth inning with one run deficit, down a run, you have to get outs. Plain and simple. The idea they can just stash Hamilton into meaningless situations, it doesn't work that way. Jonathan Loaisiga is another guy who just hasn't, he's come back from the injury off of this long layoff and hasn't been the same guy. The Yankee bullpen right now, over the next 4 weeks until Weaver comes back, is going to be an issue. Now, they're hoping Cousins comes back, but even Cousins, like, what they're really missing is they're better at the strikeouts because typically when Weaver's going well, he strikes people out. When Williams is going well, he strikes people out. And Leiter has been striking people out, and Cruz strikes people out. So the strikeouts over the last couple of years, the main issue with this bullpen has been they don't get enough swing and misses. And while this team has been better at that, and they do get more swing and misses, they still don't have that lights out fire breather coming out of the pen. They don't have, like, most, I mean, obviously Chapman comes in throwing 103, but, like, a lot of these bullpens have these arms that come in and blow you away with 99, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. The Yankees don't really have a guy to come in and do that. Now, Cruz, as long as he throws strikes, gets ahead, that split finger is one of the better pitches in all of baseball. And the same thing with Williams. If he can throw fastballs and locate, The numbers on the changeup are still very good. He can get swing and misses on it as long as he's ahead in the count. But they don't have someone who can come in and beat you when they're behind in the count. Like, that's the issue. They fall behind. They don't have someone who could just say, all right, look, I'm in a fastball count. I'm going to throw the fastball. Here it comes at 99-100. Try and hit it. Like, they don't have that guy. They have guys who have good put-away pitches but who need to be ahead to have that happen. If they fall behind, they get hit. And you add some guys who've just been downright ineffective to that mix. And right now, the bullpen is an issue, and the Red Sox exposed it. The Red Sox exposed that bullpen. And you got an off night from a starter who hasn't given you one in a month and a half. And even the home run. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people, oh, he hit a batter. You got to take him out. Carlos Rodon's earned the right to get out of that inning. He just has. Look at the rest of this bullpen. Where are you going that you feel better? Where are you going that you feel better than what Carlos Rodon has done over the course of this season? He's earned the right to try and get out of that jam. He's done it time and time again. He's earned the right. I honestly, like, you could question some of the moves Aaron Boone made with the bullpen. Everyone he brought in got hit. Everyone. And if you think he should bring in high leverage relievers on a Saturday, which would eliminate him from pitching Sunday to protect being down, that makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And we're going to quibble about lineups. They scored 5 runs off Garrett Crochet, and we're going to quibble about lineups. Anthony Volpe got hit in the elbow. They gave him a day off. Jazz Chisholm is coming back, right? Everyone's complaining about that Saturday lineup, another punt lineup from the New York Yankees. It's ridiculous. Anthony Volpe got hit in the elbow. They gave him one day off. The guy plays more than any shortstop over the last 3 years than any shortstop in baseball. He got hit in the elbow. He had some inflammation. It sucked that it was against the lefty because he's been good against the lefty and one of the hitters that have been good against lefties. So he has to take a day off. And then Jazz Chisholm, like, we get so upset because he had a couple of good games, and he did, and he's been really good since coming back, and the 70% stuff, he was terrible in that interview. Man, what a god-awful interview. Those things are so stupid. Can we please stop doing the ESPN interview? And I'm not even talking that he made an error. I don't even care about that. Like, it's just, they're dumb, they're pointless, the guys are distracted, they don't give you good answers, they ask stupid questions. Feels like your manager really likes you. Yeah. You know, me and the manager have a good relationship. Like, what is he going to say to, hey, the manager really likes you? Yeah, we're best friends. We play Parcheesi together. What is he going to say? So dumb. But Jazz has been really good since coming back. And I know he was hot and had the biggest hit of the game in game one. The first inning 3-run home run, without question, to me, was the biggest hit of the game. But this guy has been with the New York Yankees for a season and a couple months. He got traded at the trade deadline last year. And in that brief time, half a season plus what's a third of a season this year, and not even a full season of baseball, this dude's missed months multiple times. He's missed a month 2 separate times. And this is an oblique injury that he's coming back from, which, by the way, he beat the time frame for by about a week. Obliques are tricky. You do not want to re-injure his oblique. So they gave him a scheduled day off against a really tough lefty to try and keep him on the field. That's not punting. That's trying to be smart and recognizing that this isn't a World Series game, as much as we all like to treat it as such. They still scored 5 runs off of Garrett Crochet. They still did enough offensively to win the games. The pitching staff got absolutely hammered. Ryan Yarbrough gave up 8 runs and were blaming the manager. Carlos Rodon gave up that 3-run home run. Everyone he brought, Cruz comes in, gives up runs. Like, what would you like them to do? It drives me absolutely crazy. But this Yankee bullpen right now is a legitimate problem and is going to be a dicey few weeks. And if you remember the comments from Brian Cashman a few weeks ago, or a few days, I don't know, last week, 2 weeks ago, about the trade deadline, yeah, they need a right-handed bat. They need another infielder. I'm not sold on DJ LeMahieu, although he's looked far better than at any point over the last 2 years. I still don't know if that's good enough to be your everyday second baseman, and clearly he's lacking range. Defensively at the position. If he gets to it, he makes the play, but he's missed a couple plays that he can't get to that I think, you know, an average to above average second baseman gets to, that Jazz gets to if he's playing second. I'm not saying he's the answer, but he's been far better than he was the last couple years. Hits a home run in this game. He's just driving the baseball more. It's clear as day. He's actually driving the baseball. And we haven't seen that in 2 years. But they can absolutely use an upgrade there. There's a couple of things, but it is going to be, as Brian Cashman said, pitching, pitching, pitching. They need to add a bullpen arm. They're probably going to need to add a starter because I don't know if I trust Will Warren in a playoff game. I don't know if I certainly don't know if I trust Ryan Yarbrough. He's just too hittable if he doesn't locate his spots. It's nice that he's on a good run. That's just a dangerous in a playoff series, in a big game spot where if he has to be locating perfectly. Otherwise, he's going to get hit. That's a dangerous guy to throw out in a playoff game. So they definitely need pitching, pitching, pitching. They're going to have to upgrade with the starting pitching, and they're going to have to get a bullpen reliever. Typically someone who throws gas, that'd be nice. But as much as those are all flaws, and they're all legitimate, and I have concerns about this team just because they're in first place, just because I'm, you know, content with how many games they've won and content with the kind of game they've been playing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean they're perfect or they're not flawed. They are. And they're going to have an opportunity to go improve this team, and they better. But to me, this series was more about the Red Sox and the idea that the Yankees couldn't put them away. And not only that, it felt like, and we'll see, maybe they turn around and lose the next three. But it feels like the Red Sox came in here, and Yankee Stadium, the New York Yankees, gave them life. And that's what I take away from the weekend. That's what pisses me off right now. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Yes, you continue to be the voice of reason on this.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
No, I feel you. One quick Alonso point that I have a Yankee question. Can you imagine if the Mets hadn't signed Alonso and he was doing this for, like, the Red Sox or the Guardians or the Mariners?
Yeah.
I mean, the Met fans, we would have been, like, killing ourselves. It's scary to think about that, and it came close to happening. My Yankee point, and I think I know the answer to this, but there's a team in the American League East that's won 10 of the last 13, and they're kind of healthy except for Santander. Do you think that Toronto, you got a big four-game series in Toronto at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Do you think they could be more of a threat than Boston?
I mean, listen, could they be? Look, the Red Sox haven't played well. I think the Red Sox roster is better. And I think the Blue Jays happen to be frauds. I don't consider the Blue Jays a real threat. I got to be honest with you. They've been frauds this entire time. They haven't won a playoff game in God knows how long. They continue to just be frauds. So until they really make a statement here, I'm not going to buy into them. I think the Red Sox, because thank you for the call. I think the Red Sox are a better team. I think they could have a better roster. And when, Bregman comes back, I think that lineup could be dangerous. And there was talks about trading Duran. Like, that's part of, I wanted to help really spiral this thing out of control. Because there was a lot of pessimism around this Red Sox team. A lot of pessimism. Like, there was talks about moving Duran. There's talks about, moving pieces around. They haven't pitched that well. The offense has really struggled. And instead, they came in and just kicked the living crap out of the Yankees pitching staff. Now, the Yankees did well against them. They scored some runs, but they just had no answer. Nobody could get the Boston Red Sox out in this entire series, really. Outside of Will Warren, the first couple innings of game one, not a single pitcher the Yankees brought in. Devin Williams closed the game. Mark Leiter had a good inning. But really, no one they brought in was able to shut down the Boston Red Sox this entire series. And we'll see this. They're 8.5 games back. I know the Blue Jays are 4.5 games back, 5 in the loss column. And they've been playing well, no doubt. They're frauds. I have no fear of the Boston. I have really no fear of Toronto. I have no fear of Toronto. I have no fear of Tampa Bay. I really don't. I don't have any fear of them. I think the Boston Red Sox are the biggest threat in the division. And thankfully, they have an 8.5 game lead over them. But I was hoping they win this game, and it's 10. And the Red Sox are on their way to possibly selling at the deadline. And we'll see. The season, it's still underway. We'll see what happens, but we'll see where they turn around and play after this. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your phone calls on the Yankees. We got to get to the Mets, Pete Alonso, as the Mets do what they have to do and take all six, including the last three, obviously, out in Colorado, take all six this season from the Rockies After a couple of games, I was on Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning, so we talked a little bit about the Friday night game where, again, runners of scoring position continues to be a problem for the Mets, but they get enough from their guy, Pete Alonso, the MVP of this team. They get enough from Lindor, who has, you know, broken pinky toe and still out there getting game-winning hits in game one. Even when they struggle, they pitch well enough. You know, that is, again, Clay Holmes is incredible. You know, McGill had a no-hitter for how many innings in this game? Like, their starting pitching just continues to just shut down the opposition, whether it be the Dodgers, whether it be the lowly Rockies. The starting pitching, without question, is the story of this team. I know Pete Alonso right now, hitting home runs, leading the world in RBIs, MVP talk. But to me, every time I talk Mets, we have to talk about their starting pitching. It is unbelievably good. But the offense kind of explodes at the end of Saturday and then obviously all day yesterday. And we got to have a conversation about Pete Alonso. And yeah, he's absolutely in the mix for the MVP. Right now might even be the favorite. He's hitting over 300. He leads Major League Baseball in RBIs. He's slugging almost 1,000. He's got 17 home runs after cooling off in the home run department, gotten back hot and heavy here in Colorado. And it begs the question for me, how do the Mets handle it? Moving forward with Pete Alonso. He's on a one-year deal because there is no way in hell he's opting back in off of this season. How do the Mets handle Pete Alonso? I have an idea. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls. We'll get to the Knicks as well as their coaching search continues. And new reports of more drama and dysfunction. So we'll get to all of that as we take you through the morning here to 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.